Community Exchange, brought to you by Clumfest Radio. Today we're talking with Barnaby Geis from the Center for Social Innovation. CSI is a new subject for me. I don't know this building. How did this, it's Center for Social Innovation, how did the Center for Social Innovation get its name, and what does the name mean?
The Center for Social Innovation opened in 2004, and the idea at that point was really how do we bring people that are working in the social mission sector together so that they can meet each other and collaborate. And the problem at its core that CSI was trying to address was a lot of these social mission sector folk were working in substandard office facilities. So we wanted to find a way to pool the resources together, build a beautiful, vibrant office space and community, and then collaboration and knowledge sharing could ensue. And so social innovation, I think the best way to describe the name is to describe social innovation. Social innovation attempts to address some of the challenges that we're facing, environmental, cultural, economic, and social. And the ultimate social innovation, if you will, is one that systems changing. So it permanently alters the behaviors and attitudes and way of thinking that created those problems in the first place.
I read a description that CSI is a co-working space. What is a co-working space?
So CSI is many things. It's a co-working space, it's a community, and it's an incubator. And so a co-working space is a space where many different enterprises can work under the same roof. And so here we have a co-working space with private offices, private desks, and shared desks, which means that you buy an hourly package and you can come use the building 24/7 whenever you need. We have meeting rooms that are shared with our 800 members now, not all in one location, but across our four locations. And we have common areas such as kitchens and lounges where people can meet or have a coffee and lunch, and oftentimes just kind of meet organically and end up finding alignment in their mission and then collaborating down the road.
So there are common facilities that all the tenants can use. It's like a cooperative working space for socially minded organizations?
Yeah, pretty much. In a way, it's bringing everybody together. So as I said, it's really at the core in its original thought. It was to pool our resources together so we could build a beautiful office space that people actually enjoy going to. So as you can see around you, there's a lot of windows on all the doors of the meeting rooms. The offices are all made of glass. So the idea that we keep things transparent with light coming in, natural light, it's a lot of wood, plants, refurbished furniture, giving people a feeling of feeling at home and comfortable where they work, a place where they actually want to go spend time and be creative instead of, you know, what used to be the case, the kind of cubicle mentality that really made people feel unenthusiastic about their work a lot of the time.
So CSI is very interested in the working environment for socially oriented organizations. It's making social it's introducing the concept of upscale to social organizations. I'm looking around this building. This is what, 6-7 stories high, this building?
This is 5 stories high. So this is our annex location in Toronto. So we own the entire building, and then each floor really has kind of its own vibe, and you have an eclectic mix of tenants. And you know, we meet all the time. We have events that we organize. We have workshops. So the people here really know each other, which is really nice because it's not just going to work and working with your fellow employees. It's going to work to a community. It's kind of like a village in the middle of the city. And not just that. So we go beyond the physical space. We have virtual spaces as well. So we have an intranet network that connects all of our members across all our locations. So this allows them to post events, jobs, and news to our website and then to our newsletter so they can get the word out. And also they have profiles there so they can meet each other and see other people that are working in their field. So the virtual space is really important because we have 4 locations, 3 in Toronto and 1 in New York City. So we want to build a space where these people can still meet and interact even if they're not under the same roof.
So are you saying there's a building like this in New York City where that has tenants as well?
Yes, it opened just recently. Actually, a bunch of us, 56 of us from the community, went down on a bus trip and had a big party to open it up and meet the new New York tenants. And that's in the Start Lehigh building, which is a historic landmark in the West Chelsea area. And we don't own the whole building. It's a huge, huge building. But we have a beautiful space on the third floor.
And this building we're in is one of three then in Toronto?
Yes.
And it's five stories. How many tenants?
And so we have 450 member organizations, which totals 800 members total. And we went from 2004 to operating 5,000 square feet of space, which was really just kind of trying out the model, to now in 2013, 9 years later, running 100,000 square feet of space.
CSI is managing 100,000 square feet of office space.
Almost, yep.
For how many members?
800 members.
800
now.
Members. And growing, still growing.
Still growing. So another big part of CSI is the community. I mean, that is really pretty much the most important part of having a place like CSI, is the community and the support, the peer-to-peer support, the workshops, all that kind of programming that can happen when you have people that are coming together to try to make the world a better place. And so we have workshops, competitions. We just announced, for example, a $600,000 microloan fund to give microloans to social enterprises ranging from $5,000 to $25,000. So we're trying to put a community together which has the support and the common knowledge, and then giving people all the tools that they need. So access to capital being one of them, but access to knowledge to accelerate their success being the other part of it.
CSI is a workspace, a shared workspace for member organizations. It's a community center for socially minded individuals and organizations. And now you're saying it also functions as a bank to lend money, microloans?
This is done with our partners, the Ontario government, TD Bank Group, Microsoft, Alternative Savings, KPMG, and Social Capital Partners.
These are the financiers for a loan program that CSI engineers?
Yes, they've all contributed in different ways, and we have a total pool of $600,000. And so there's an application process. People have to be CSI members, and the reason is because that means that they have the support of the community and of our programming and workshops and mentors to make sure that they use that capital in the best way possible and that they're successful in their endeavors. And we'll be undertaking a two-year impact study of the loans to see the impact that this microloan fund has had. So a lot of the times for early stage social enterprises, access to capital is the biggest barrier to translating their idea into creating world-changing impact. And so right now what we're trying to do is see what happens when you free people up to follow their idea and give them access to capital at a low cost. But you have all these people in CSI that are working on projects that have the potential to scale, but you have to start small. And so a lot of the times people now have been turning to new tools such as crowdfunding, and it's often just with a few $1,000s, sometimes even less than that, that they're able to go out there and test their idea. They meet all the criteria to receive a loan, but it's giving them access to a loan that they probably wouldn't have access to if, for example, they went to a bank or a venture capitalist that would be expecting to see something bigger and with more proven results. This is really about translating your idea into impact. And so I think if your idea is really strong and it can create impact, then publicity will kind of come. And so one example you see now with crowdfunding, which is really a revolutionary tool, CSI also has its own crowdfunding platform called csicatalyst.org. And so this is kind of like a Kickstarter, but specifically for social entrepreneurship, and the only crowdfunding platform in the world that is based in a real-world community, so with a real physical space where people can meet, have events, and also attend the workshops and benefit from the support of the community. And so with crowdfunding, you can see now people going to the crowd with an idea and raising small amounts of capital and then turning that idea into impact. And so people are really open to funding ideas that they feel will have an impact or make a difference in the world.
So you're now talking about microloans. There's a program for microloans, and there's also a crowdfunding program. Tell me more about crowdfunding. This is an amazing concept that didn't exist, 10 years ago, but suddenly people can put an idea online and find, investors, contributors? How do people get their money into a crowdfunding project? Are they investing? Are they loaning? Do they get a payback? How does this work?
So there's different types of crowdfunding platforms. There's a rewards-based platform, which is what you have mostly at this point. So these are platforms where you get a reward in exchange of your contribution. But when you think contribution, this really doesn't need to be $100 and, you know, a t-shirt and a video or something. We're talking $5 can get you a tweet or something really basic. So it really democratizes capital because you can contribute whatever you're able to contribute and you're recognized for your contribution. And so these contributions can range from $5 to $10,000 to $1 million because you also have crowdfunding platforms that give you equity in the company. And so this is not yet legal in Canada, but this is groundbreaking in the sense that allows people to diversify their portfolio and invest in startups that they believe in. And this is huge. As I was mentioning with the microloan fund, access to capital at an early stage is a really big challenge, and it's often what prevents growth. But entrepreneurship and small business and growing these small businesses into big ones are crucial to Ontario's economic health and to the nation's economic health. So this platform that allows people to invest in something that they believe in and to either just be acknowledged for that contribution or to get an equity stake in that company is a completely groundbreaking and revolutionizing tool.
It does sound revolutionary. I mean, you're talking about microloans, crowdfunding contributions, crowdfunding investments. These are ways for social entrepreneurs to obtain funding for projects that didn't exist before.
Yes, this is really completely new, and I mean, it has grown exponentially.
Is it changing the face of the social revolution?
Absolutely. I mean, you have some platforms that have risen to kind of the top, the ones that were out there early, like such as Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and you can see they have raised, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for projects that may have never seen the light of day otherwise.
And now CSI has started a fund called Catalyst.
So CSI now has a crowdfunding platform called CSICatalyst.org. And so it's been up and running for 2 months, and it's raised $40,000 in 2 months. And so this money has gone to projects, members of CSI, that have been able to raise money from the crowd to create the project that they had envisioned.
Now, are these member organizations of CSI that can access this money? Or I guess people identify where they want their money to go. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so anybody, it's open to the public, and anybody can create a project as well. There's a whole kind of review process to make sure that the project is legit and well thought out and that it can make a difference. But then it just allows people mostly to tap into their own networks as well as the CSI network and the public. So we help promote these campaigns, and these people are able to promote it to their networks and raise money. So you really, you know, you raise money, $5 here, $20 here. It's kind of the extension before, you know, you would bootstrap a company with friends and family. And so now you're able to kind of extend that network of friends and family to your social media networks, to your business networks, and everyone can kind of pitch in to help you along the way.
Now, if I had an idea that I thought might be funded by CSI Catalyst, would I have to join CSI in order to access that crowdfunding source?
No. So the crowdfunding platform is open to anybody.
Anybody with a good idea?
Anybody with a good idea. The difference is that because of the physical space and the nature of the community, people can join. They can pay $30 a month to get community membership, which grants them all the benefits of CSI without the workspace. There's a lot of social entrepreneurs and innovators that want access to CSI's community, that want to contribute to the community and help grow it, but they don't need workspace. So for $30 a month, they can get all those benefits, and that will help them succeed in their crowdfunding campaign, as well as after they've actually had raised the capital to implement their project and to create that impact.
And I've noticed that CSI also is a great source for educational programs, seminars, and workshops.
Huge. So we host literally hundreds of events and workshops every year. A lot of them are organized by our members, so they put workshops on in these meeting rooms and invite the public. And we also have events and workshops and competitions that we support and organize.
I've noticed workshops on how to do social marketing, for example. I guess a lot of organizations are involved in these things and they're sharing their knowledge.
Yes, and that's a huge part of what CSI is all about, is knowledge sharing. And so that happens informally, whether it's just in a common area, at a kitchen, or over a cup of coffee. And that happens formally in these workshops and programs that we organize. So, for example, we have one that's a small business or social enterprise success series, and it's a series of workshops that goes on for, I believe, 8 weeks, and covers pretty much the gamut of everything that you need to know to get your business started or to get your idea off the ground.
We should have a video camera just to show all the things that I'm seeing as I walk around the CSI offices. It's a beautiful building. Looks like a heritage building. It's been beautifully restored. Did CSI do the restoration?
Yes. I've heard many rumors of what this building used to be. I've heard it was a Sprout factory, which I think it was at some point. But CSI had the opportunity to take over this beautiful building and not only to renovate it, but we had to green retrofit it. And we did that using our other innovation in social finance, community bonds. And so community bonds are a tool that allow a nonprofit to raise money from its supporters and to turn their supporters into investors. And so it's a debt instrument, and it's RRSP eligible, so people can put in their retirement savings plan. And they get a return on their investment from CSI's operations.
Is it like other bonds? It has a set rate of return, or
exactly.
Is it a variable rate of return?
It has a set rate, and then we use that to raise $2 million in 8 months so that we could buy this building that altogether with renovations was $6.5 million.
So CSI raised $2 million with a community bond to renovate this building, which it now rents out to many members, and the members benefit from the renovation and the networking that goes on here.
Yeah, so the loan was a 4% return over 5 years, and we had 60 citizen investors. It was a minimum investment of $10,000, and with that we raised $2 million. And so that now, if you look at we speak a lot about in impact investing double and triple bottom lines. So your bottom line obviously is how much money you get back from your investment, but now we're also talking about social and environmental benefits. And so the social impact of that investment has been huge. I mean, literally having a building like this that is this big, where you can have people that come every day that have office space and that have workshops where they learn and where the success of their enterprises, which are all socially minded, the impact is huge. It's exponential. And the impact that it's having, not just in Toronto, but the world, because our members are working on issues from municipal ones to national ones to international ones.
Who thought up the idea of launching a community bond for $2 million to buy a building and rent it out to many tenants? Is there a CSI organization?
Yes, so we have an incredible staff team that I'm blessed to be a part of. Our CEO is Tanya Sermon, and she's been here since the very beginning. She started this place and grew it with the help of an incredible team and incredible board members. And so, for example, community bond is really something that just came out of the conversation. When you surround yourself with the right kinds of people that are, you know, have experience in investing, in law, in raising money, in real estate, and just over these kind of conversations and this research, you can find solutions to your problems, which was one of the issues that CSI was actually trying to resolve. Is all these people are trying to work towards creating good, but they're working in silos, divided from each other, and there isn't that exchange of information and expertise that allows them to be more successful and to succeed faster. So I think it's testimony to the success of that model, how fast CSI has grown.
Yeah, that's amazing. What did you say, 2004 was
2004, we were at 5,000 square feet. In 2013, we're at 100,000 square feet. And now we're in the United States and in Canada.
Now, tell me about the difference between the profit motive in all this financing, or is it a social motive? I mean, if banks were lending this much money, we would understand the criteria. You have to pay back certain rate of interest, certain dates, and it's all very structured and tight. Is that how CSI manages it loans? I mean, who manages all this money?
We have one person that kind of oversees the community bonds, and otherwise it's backed by the mortgage of the building. So it's a loan it's an investment where people's most any investment has risk, but at least they know that their investment is backed by the mortgage of a building that at the time was worth, I believe, $6.5 million and is worth more, significantly more now. And our investors are also our friends and supporters, and so we have events where we see each other. I mean, there's transparency in everything that we do, and we speak very openly with them about our financial situation, our financial model, our expectations for revenue, and I think transparency is key when you're having an investment like this in a nonprofit environment where you're really asking people to trust you, because they're not investing just in gas and oil. They're willing to take some risk and see their money not only give them a return, but also create a return in the community.
So you're obviously talking to people who have money. People who have money normally go for the rate of return and so on, but why would these people invest in social innovation as compared to gas and oil?
I think people want to make a difference, and it's hard to know how to make a difference. And if there's a way to put your capital at work for it to do both, to give you a financial return that is competitive with other bonds and that allows you to make a difference, why wouldn't you do it? It's incredible what you can do with capital, and impact investing is changing how we look at capital.
You call it impact investing?
Impact investing, there's social finance. I'd say it's even revolutionizing capitalism as we speak. You know, we're talking about creating a new economy where ideas make us better because of our living standards, but also better because we're just progressing and evolving as a society.
Social investment, it's almost like profit plus.
Yeah, it's the double or triple bottom line. So having a profit and then a social or environmental return.
Profit plus. Invest with CSI and you will not only get a return, a rate of return, but you will get more benefits. And it's these more benefits that are really impressive, the things that CSI members are doing.
Yeah, CSI is one organization that is home to many, many, many other organizations. And the impact that all our members are creating is phenomenal, and it's incredible to see the diversity of everyone's work, people working on just municipal issues right here in Toronto to, you know, water security abroad. And that's kind of the amazing thing of how you see when you can animate a community and give them the tools that they need, the kind of work that they're able to do is incredible. And so part of CSI is, you were asking me earlier about the staff team. There's a very key component of our staff team. Everyone plays a very essential role, but we have a team of community animators. And so I would say that maybe they're the bread and butter of the whole CSI model, because they are what makes this community, they are what makes the model successful. They're what makes members happy to be a part of CSI, and it allows members to meet each other and to be more successful. And so what a community animator does is really animate the community.
Again, it's this the social aspect on top of the profit motive. You've got this extra dimension. It's hard to imagine an office building on Bay Street with social animators going from office to office. But here at CSI, it's like innovation. I'm getting a much clearer idea of what innovation means. It's like CSI itself is innovative, and because CSI is innovative and discovering new ways of doing things, like in the financing field, then the members pick up on this vibe of social innovation, and it just carries on.
And our members are often already doing amazing work before they come here, but their work is catalyzed by being in a place like CSI, surrounded by people that are also trying to make a difference. So at CSI, we've termed this model the theory of change. And if I could draw it for you, it's basically just a diagram, and the base of the pyramid is space, physical space. And the midsection of the pyramid is community, and the top of the pyramid is innovation. And for us, that's really kind of how it works. You have the space, which is the physical space, which is extremely important. I mean, if you are working under neon lights in a cubicle, you're going to have a lot harder time being creative, being engaged in your work, feeling a real sense of purpose and belonging where you are if it feels like you're kind of in jail. And then you have community. So once you've created this incredible physical space with light coming in and nice furniture and a sense of really feeling like it's a place that you want to spend time in, you build that community. And so that's where the community animation team comes in and really fosters a sense of community, puts on events, workshops that bring the community together and get to know everybody and make everyone feel welcome, especially new members, help them navigate their way around CSI. And so once you have a community and those connections are being made and new collaborations are emerging, you get that creativity and you get innovation that comes out of it.
Social innovation at CSI. Is there any way that people around the world could set up a CSI in every city of the world?
Absolutely. And this is a model that people can absolutely learn from. And so we really believe in crowdsourcing as well as crowdfunding and all the other crowds, which is just sharing information and being able to compile that information to create your own model or to copy to scale models that are working. And so in that spirit, we've published three books on shared spaces for social innovation. And these three books pretty much tell you everything that you need to know, or at least the most important information that we've been able to distill out of this whole process so that they can build spaces, co-working spaces that support social innovation. And we have people that write to us all the time that have read the books from around the world and that are working on creating spaces like this. So co-working is not new. You have co-working spaces that are coming more and more around the world. But creating spaces with that community and that's socially minded, that's trying to make a difference, is something that we've developed a particular expertise in and that we're really happy to share, because the more this model scales, the more impact it can have and the better off the world will be.
So if anyone around the world wants to set up a center for social innovation in their own hometown, they can call it whatever name they want. They can learn from you how to do it. But it all starts with
Shared spaces for social innovation.
Shared spaces for social innovation, and then can move on into community animation and crowdfunding.
So it starts just with that pyramid, the theory of change. It starts with the physical space, then building the community, and then building the opportunities for innovation to occur out of that community. And they can go to our website, which is socialinnovation.org, and we have a publications page, and they can download all three books for free as PDFs, or they can order a hard copy of it, and they can use that to inspire their thinking in creating a model that maybe it's exactly this model and it'll work perfectly well there, or maybe they have their own cultural environment to consider and to build a place that is inspired by CSI but more adequate to answer the needs of that environment.
So it's socialinnovation.org.
Socialinnovation.org, and that can bring you from there to Toronto or New York. And then our Toronto site is socialinnovation.ca, and there we have, I mean, you really can see everything that's happening in the community, because we have an events listing, jobs listing, news listing, and we have all the different programs that we're involved in putting out there right now. And you can see our models, our books, pretty much everything that we've compiled, operating and growing and learning.
The Center for Social Innovation. Well, it's an inspiration. And I want to thank you, Barnaby, for talking about the Center for Social Innovation. Good luck with everything you're doing, and keep inspiring us. The world needs more social innovation.
Thank you very much. And please come check out our locations and see what we're all about. And maybe there's a place for you at CSI as well.
Community Exchange is brought to you by Comfest Radio. Community Exchange is an ongoing discussion of issues affecting communities around the world.
We will close this program with our theme music, composed by jazz musician Wilson McLeish.